what has begun in the water up there must go to the oceans of the world.
Amen.
I long to see that day when your footprints are found in nations far and wide. It's not a trip that we plan to take. It's the beginning of a journey. A journey that's never been showcased or displayed in this church for long. Do you realize that there are more people alive in the world today than all those who have ever lived in all of history? That should say something to us. And so a lot is laid upon us today that we may grasp the gravity of the situation. What is placed upon our shoulder as children of the light, that we may understand that and we may respond, and that we may go about fulfilling the task that is laid upon us. It's a strange time that we live in, and I want you to think about this carefully. I was telling to the young people out there this morning when I went to sneak in and have my muffins. It just came out of my mouth. And I said, it's a very strange time where the church, we don't know what the church is up to. It's beginning to feel as though there is a prophetess in this country who is a singer. Her name is Katy Perry. If the church starts to behave the way it is behaving, she will end up being called a prophetess of the modern day. Because when we look at the church, you remember that song, you are hot, you are cold, you are white, you are black, you are yes, you are no. And it seems like the story of the church. And if the church starts to behave like that, she will end up looking like a prophetess. You got to be careful here. And that is why I believe with all my heart that what is about to happen in this church is the opening up of a chapter. You are scripting a history like it has never been. And you are rewriting the story of the church. Why the church failed for 2,000 years? All the reasons that can be stacked up, you will end up showing to the world that you went the opposite direction and you finished the task. What could not happen in 2,000 years happened during your time. I was telling my friends this morning in the Sunday school class that it will be my attempt to preach a sermon that will never be forgotten. And so we'll have three simple words this morning. And I do not ever want you to forget this. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, that it may be engraved on in our heart. That you never forget this for the rest of your life. Three simple words that we go on to live it. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. I believe the Lord will challenge each one of you wherever you are, whatever situation you might be in, all your dreams and all your aspirations, all your ambitions. But today the Lord will bring it to the open, and you will be faced with a difficult choice. whether to leave them all for the sake of Jesus or to take them up as a baggage and go away from the Lord. So you need the help from the Holy Spirit this morning, that not only that you should recognize the truth, but that you should embrace the truth as it is. So Lord, we come before your presence today. We know, Lord, the great work of the Holy Spirit is to bring the truth to us and help us recognize the truth. And so when that happens here this morning, help us, Lord, that we let this truth rule our hearts, that we embrace it with all our mind, that we set ourselves apart to this truth, that it may be made known to all the earth. So help us, Lord. Give us the boldness that we may never be ashamed of the truth, that we may find all the reason to live for the truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 17. Verse number 16. And the Bible says, and Paul was waiting for them in Athens. Even before we can go into this place, I really look to that time in future when Avery will be waiting for you at the airport in Athens. That will happen, Avery. What has begun in Italy will go to Greece, will go to Portugal, will go to Switzerland, will go to Germany, will go to France, will go everywhere. I long to see the day when there is a team of 8 people going to Italy. The next month there is a team of 8 people going to Portugal. There is a next month a team of 8 people go to Africa. And then the next month there are 8 more that is going to Asia. A church where everyone is willing to go. A church where everyone lives their life as sent. Where everyone believes that it is upon them. The great task of our time. To reach the lost. To turn the world upside down. To bring God the glory. And so Paul was waiting for them at Athens, and his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city which was given to idolatry. That's the first thing we must remember. It is a test of our character in Jesus. Let this be made known, and it cannot become simpler than this, that we begin to examine ourselves in the light of the scripture and we ask ourselves the question. When we look around, is our heart ever stirred when we see the lost being lost in their ways? Does it ever bother us at any time that we are sorrowful for those who do not have Jesus? Has it ever bothered that our friends are going on a highway to hell and they are speeding? So the first thing that we must understand, and you never forget it, that we must live our lives as those who are sent. Paul was sent to Athens. It is one thing to be sent somewhere, but it is another thing to be living as those who are sent. I can go to the entire nations of the world and come back to you, and all it can be is that I had a worldwide vacation. But when I go to the nations, when I see people and I am deeply burdened and I am broken in my heart, I say, something's got to be done for these people. Something's got to be done. Someone has to go and tell them the word. Oh, they are on the highway to hell. Something got to be done. It is a life that is lived as sent. So the first word that I want you to understand is being sent. Remember, you are sent. Can we all say the word sent? Remember, you are sent. You are sent, and so you got to live your life as sent. So when I see people, I am burdened for them because I am sent. And there is a genuine uproar in my heart when I see the lostness of the world because I am sent. I am sent for these people. My heart pains when I see those who do not have Jesus because I am sent. There is a true concern for the lost. There is a great commitment in the heart for those who do not have Jesus because we have begun to live our lives as sent. It happened about 8 years ago when I met this man. He gave his life to the Lord, and then when I was preaching the gospel in India, he came forward, surrendered his life to ministry. And this man, when he went back to Italy, all that I asked him to do was, when you go there, you live your life as a man who is sent. Brother, I want to preach the gospel. I want to do whatever you want to do for Jesus. But let them know that you are sent. And so Ashok went there and began to live his life as a man who was sent. So, you know what happens when you live your life as sent? Everything starts to align with the kingdom of God. Your job, your profession, the money you have in your pocket. Oh, thank you so much,
sir. I don't want to give everyone.
I love you so much. I've never had this problem before. Avery, please. Don't sit there and envy me. I think people love me here more than Avery. I should not have said that. So he began to live his life as sent. When he began to align everything with the kingdom of God. He resigned his job at an oil refinery. And he said, I will take up a job as a tourist guide. Why? Because when he is a tourist guide, he gets to meet a lot of people. Indians are coming from India. And he began to go to Indians in Italy and tell them, hey, a lot of tourists are coming. Would you like to cook a meal for them? So they will pay you. And so a lot of Indians who are living in Italy began to become friends with him, opened the door. He was just going about doing his job, but he did his job as one who was sent. And the Bible says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city that was given to idolatry. And he went to the synagogue and he began to dispute with the Jews, with devout persons in the market daily. It is only the sent that will be the ones who went. So the second word that I want you to understand, if you are sent, you'll be the one who went. So wherever you are, you will find the need and you'll say, I got to go. I got to go to this person. I got to go to this family. I got to go to this place. I got to go to this people. I got to go to this office. I got to go to this ball game. I got to go to this game. I got to go to this sports. I got to go to this event. I want to go because you are the ones who went for Jesus. Wherever there were people, wherever there were opportunities, wherever there was a need for the gospel, you went. And so Paul, who was sent, decided that he should become the one who went. He was never stuck in a place, and he realized he needed to go. And that is why we need to understand this basic principle that we must carry as people who went. What do? When we become those people who went somewhere, we follow the dip principle. Bo, you got to understand what dip means. We dunked you there, now we got to dunk you again. Dip. We got to engage ourselves in deep conversations. Always remember. The other day, we were at the airport and my daughter was looking at a group of people who were in blazers. They were standing and talking. And she looked at me and she said, "They look so artificial." She noticed. Because they were standing there and talking about, "I made all this money, I did all these things, man, I did this." But then she noticed that it was very superficial, very artificial. They were not having an engaging conversation where they were able to show to the other person, "I care for you. I want to do something for you. I want to make sure I impact your life." It was not a deep conversation. It was all superficial. And a 20-year-old was able to pick up on that. I tell you a truth today. When you go out in the world, they will know if you truly care for them or not. It does not matter if they are teenagers, it does not matter how old they are, they will know, they will pick it up so quickly. And that is why we say when we are the ones who call ourselves as the ones who went, the first thing we do is we engage ourselves in deep conversations. We want to know how they are, what they are doing, what part of their life they like, what they don't like, what they hate, what makes them sad, what makes them happy, how is their family, what can you do to impact their life? Deep conversations. We got to show the world that we are not phony people who meet on Sunday. You remember out there, those phone companies, they have the stores, AT&T, Verizon. What's the difference between that store and the church? When will you go into that store? You know, when I go to AT&T store, when I have something, some problem, I go there and I say, "Can you fix this up for me?" And there's a guy who comes there and he has a nameplate. "Oh, Sean, can you fix this up?" "Nice to meet you, Sean." "Yes." And Sean will fix it up. And then after that, you don't care what Sean is doing in that place. You don't care how much money he is paid. You don't care how long he works there. As long as he fixes the thing, you're gone from that place. And the next time you come, you have a problem. You come into that place. Most times, churches are like that. An average church goer is not interested in how many hours the pastor is working, where he is going, what he is doing. They just go to the church because it's a customer care center. I have a problem and you fix it. And when you fix it, I'm gone. I don't care what you do during the week, but just fix my problem. If we wanted to be comfortable, we would have probably made this Trinity Mattress Company. We are the church, aren't we? And because we are the church, we must understand that we have a job to do. We are not called to be comfortable. We don't gather here because this is a customer care center. We gather here because we are genuinely interested in the things of Jesus. We are called because we are sent, and we are called so that we are the people who went for Jesus. We went everywhere. We had deep conversations with people. And not only that, D-I-P, we need to have intentional engagements. I just don't want to call somebody saying, hey, you look like a nice guy, why don't you come to my birthday party? You look like someone who can bring some good presents, why don't you come to my party? Oh, you look like you have a nice car, why don't you come so that we can take a ride and have a vacation? No! Whenever you meet, remember, in His sovereignty, God will put people in your path. It is not accident. God will never say, when you meet someone, God will never say, oops, that was not supposed to happen. You think God is saying that up there? No, there are no accidents in the sovereignty of God. He has planned it out beautiful, the administration of God. He dispenses His administration. There is no flaw. There is no failure. And so, that's where it becomes so important that when you meet people, it is not an accident and you regard that as a divine plan and appointment. And so you begin to say, why did God put me in touch with this person? Is it because Christmas is coming and I need a nice present? Deep conversations must result in intentional engagements, where you begin to have some engagement with that person to make sure they understand there is someone alive in your life who needs to come alive in their heart. Amen. That is what this is all about. And that is when we will become those who went seeking engagements for the glory of Jesus. Pastor Ashok went about seeking engagements, genuinely caring for people. He sought and sought and sought and sought. He had meals with them when we had conversations with them. And then finally a church was born. I want to show you a picture. Can we pull that up? Can we pull up Ashish? This is Ashish. He is a refugee who escaped persecution, came to Italy. Pastor Ashok met him. Pastor Ashok does not have a big house, but he took him in, like Avery does. Avery welcomes everyone. Every time he sees me, come to my house and say, I'm like a tick, man. Don't let me in. Because if you ever do that, because I am a traveling missionary, if you let me in, I will stick. Ashish, a young man, was a refugee. Escaped persecution and came to Italy. Just took a flight, came to Serbia, crossed the border, illegally came into Italy to seek asylum. Pastor took him. Deep conversations, intentional engagements. All of that must result in a purposeful relationship. Deep conversations, intentional engagements, purposeful relationship. He had dipped into his soul. He invested in his life. A beautiful relationship started. Ashish gave his life to the Lord. He began to groom him, disciple him. Can you see the next picture? Today Ashish is the worship leader in the church. Right there is Ashish. This was on Easter Sunday. And he led the worship there in the church for the glory of God. Strange things happen when we become people who went. But that leads us to the final conclusion. and we become those who went, we will be challenged. What do we do with what we have? What we do with who we are? What we do where we have been? The ones who are sent, the ones who went, will always be the ones who spent their lives. The ones who are sent will be the ones who went, and they will what? They will live their lives as spent. They spend it. He's going to ask for money now. I'm not going to ask you for money, man. I've never done that. It's a beautiful thing in the kingdom of God, because you are an expense that was hidden that needs to come alive. You have gifts in your life that you do not even understand. You know, an average person comes with about 300 talents hidden in them. You don't even know that. An extraordinary person comes with about 700 talents hidden in them. You can speak well, you can see well, you can do this, you can do that. You don't even realize what kind of a package you are. You are a complete package. Most of those talents are dead in that person. They never come alive because they never recognized it. Your gifts, they need to be spent for Jesus. Your energy needs to be spent for Jesus. Your resources need to be spent for Jesus. Your time needs to be spent for Jesus. Oh, let us become people who spent their lives. What they had, they spent it for Jesus. They went everywhere. They lived their lives as sent. And they spent and they spent and they spent and they spent. You know, every time I go to my friend Jonah Kyle's place, the hidden reason is I go there to eat the muffin. And every time I look at the muffin, I say, this is passport to heaven. I don't want to eat anymore because I know it is passport to heaven. But the truth is, Jonah, you know what? That can become a passport to heaven, man. Where Jonah Kyle started a youth ministry, and he spent and he spent and he spent in the ministry. He ministered, and he never realized that it was not a youth ministry anymore. It had risen to become a missionary factory. We are in the business of raising missionaries, Jonah. Imagine, you know, that becomes a coffee shop. And you know how it is happening in Italy right now? Can we show the next picture of that coffee shop? So we got this coffee shop. This is the coffee shop. It is in a city called Mantua. And in that coffee shop, you know what they do? We know that everyone, you will always be embarrassed to tell someone about Jesus. No matter. Let's accept the fact. If you go out there and you meet a stranger, you talk to them and you say, immediately say, and they say, he's a weirdo. So you don't want to be labeled that, so you kind of, you don't say anything. So you know what these guys do there? They have a coffee shop, so they have gift cards. Wherever they go, they have aligned themselves with the gift, with the kingdom. They'll no more go to a place to buy gifts whenever they are going to any place for a birthday party or to celebration or anything. They give them a gift card of the coffee shop. So you all carry gift cards in your pocket, let's say. Wherever you go, you find someone, you say, hey, take this gift card. And that gift card will lead them to where? And not to PJ's or Starbucks. It will lead them to Jonah Kyle. And they come there. When they're drinking coffee, Jonah begins to spend his time. He begins to have deep conversations. He begins to forge a friendship with them, intentionally engaging with them. And then there is a purposeful relationship that starts. And Jonah realizes he's no longer giving them this muffin and saying this is a passport to heaven. But he says, this is indeed a passport to heaven because I'm going to show you the way to eternal life. One muffin is all it took. And a man's eternity was sealed. Because we spent our dime, we spent our time, we spent our energy, we spent our resources believing that we could draw people to the feet of Jesus. That's how it is done. And so they start to give gift cards, and the gift cards will bring them to the coffee shop, and they begin to have relationship with them. 2 weeks ago, on Easter, I preached a sermon. Next slide, please. We had an Easter celebration in the coffee shop. And they gathered together and we celebrated Easter together. I preached on Zoom. Next slide. This is another coffee shop in a city called Vicenza. By the way, after the church is over, when we go there, we are going to show the video of these things. Don't worry about the chicken tenders. Is that chicken tenders, sir? I will give you mine. Please come. We can all share. So this is Vicenza coffee shop, and now a small group is gathering in the Vicenza coffee shop. All because of gift cards. We live our lives as sent. We are the ones who went everywhere. And finally, we were always willing to live our lives as those who spent it. Our energy, our resources, our time, our talents, our gifts. That's how we win the world for Christ. Opportunities will continue to come in this church. If you resent it, that's what will happen. But if you say the Lord is bringing something and He's going to show us a place where He's at work and He's going to say, would you like to join me? Go. Where God is at work, go and join yourself. That would be a beautiful chariot to ride. Because it will result in Jesus being glorified in the nations of the world. Let us stand in the presence of the Lord. Sent, went, and a life that is well spent is what we are after. Every eye closed and every head bowed. This is a challenge for the church today. If that call comes to you, it may be the ends of the earth, it may be your neighbor. It may be somebody you met and you think it is an accident. But will you give yourself to a life that is well spent for Jesus? And you say, Lord, I will make this count. I will make this count, Lord. Every person that you bring in my path, I will make it count. I will align myself with your kingdom. That nothing is lost, that nobody is lost, and that everything may be found worthy of honor and glory unto you. Precious Lord, we come before your presence. We believe, Lord Jesus, there is a new chapter beginning in this church, that when the greatest number of people were living during our time than in all of history, that we decided to become the humblest people. That we humbled ourselves and we cast our pride away and we gave it all and we lived our lives as well spent for your glory. To this end, Lord, we surrender ourselves and we believe, Lord Jesus, that you who opened our eyes are now waiting for us to fall at your feet and embrace you, saying, Lord, we are ready. We are ready. Take us where you want us to go, from here to there to everywhere. You be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.